We're continuing our study for the month of February on dwelling richly, right? And this comes from Colossians chapter 3 of letting the word of Christ dwell in you richly. And today, I appreciate Don leading that song. It's a fun one of my youth group days. I used to love that song, you know, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet." And so that's what the sermon today is going to be called, "The Lamp Unto My Feet." This comes, if you did not know, from Psalm 119. In Psalm 119, verse 105 is where this is found. I want to ask you guys a couple of questions as we get started here today. That first being, how important is the Bible? How important is the Bible? There's the generic me asking that question, right, of the how important is the Bible? And all of you are thinking, well, it's very important, you know. We study it, we're supposed to live by it, and all that stuff, right? So the more personal question is, how important is the Bible to you? How important is the Bible to you? Because your time spent in it will tell. Your knowledge of it will tell. Your, most importantly, love for it will tell. God's word is the heart of our faith as Christians. And without God's word, what would we even be doing? Right? It's interesting. This past Tuesday night in our men's Bible study over here in the Mary Chandler room, we kind of were talking a little bit about the authority of the Bible and how we can trust it and that kind of thing. And, you know, we were all talking in the discussion about, you know, since God is, you know, God is real and God being God, would it not make sense for God to leave something behind or to have some way of communicating to his people? Right? It would make sense that God would want a way to communicate with his people, and so he left us the written word, the Bible. That is how God communicates with us, is through this word, right? I don't get to be like Moses and go up on Sinai and just talk to God. I don't get to do that. I don't know if I'd want to. I'd probably be too scared, but, you know, but what a marvelous thing that would be. But we get God's word, I mean, so readily available to us, even just on our phones. So how important is God's word to us? How much time do we spend in God's word? Are we dwelling richly in God's word? Because God's word is a lamp that lights our lives. God's word is a lamp that shines through in the darkest moments and the brightest moments. God's word, I want us to read Psalm 119 here in a moment. And what I want you to think about as we go through this, I want to encourage you to have your Bible open and out. I want you to have your phone. I don't care if it's on a phone. I don't care if it's the book itself. But have a Bible in front of you. I want you to circle, underline, highlight. If you got a phone, you just get to click on it and then hit a color you like. But I want you to have your Bible open as we read through this. And I want you to look at all the times that you'll see God's words being useful for your life. I want you to notice that as we read through this. And I want you to think about it. Okay? Because God's word is not just something we read. God's word is something that will shape your entire life. It will shape your understanding of reality. It will shape how you view others. It will shape how you treat others. It will shape how you conduct yourself among people. It will shape how you work. It will shape how you live if we truly believe in God's word. So Psalm 119. How important is the word of God? Well, let's just see what the psalmist has to tell us here. Blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the way of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek after him with their whole heart, who also do no wrong, but walk in his ways. You have commanded your precepts to be kept diligently, on that my ways may be steadfast in keeping your statutes. Then I shall not be put to shame, having my eyes fixed on all your commandments. I will praise you with an upright heart when I learn your righteous rules. I will keep your statutes. Do not utterly forsake me. How can a young man keep his way pure? by guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart, I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips, I declare all the rules of your mouth. In the way of your testimonies, I delight as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Deal bountifully with your servant, that I may live and keep your word. Open my eyes, that I may behold wondrous things about your law. I am a sojourner on the earth. Hide not your commandments from me. My soul is consumed with longing for your rules at all times. You rebuke the insolent, accursed ones who wander from your commandments. Take away from me the scorn and contempt, for I have kept your testimonies. Even though princes sit plotting against me, your servant will meditate on your statutes. Your testimonies are my delight. They are my counselors. My soul clings to the dust. Give me life according to your word. When I told of my ways, you answered me. Teach me your statutes. Make me understand the way of your precepts, and I will meditate on your wondrous works. My soul melts away for sorrow. Strengthen me according to your word. Put false ways far from me, and graciously teach me your law. I have chosen the way of faithfulness. I set your rules before me. I cling to your testimonies, O Lord. Let me not be put to shame. I will run in the way of your commandments when you enlarge my heart. Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I will keep it to the end. Give me understanding that I may keep your law and observe it with my whole heart. Lead me in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. Incline my heart to your testimonies and not to selfish gain. Turn my eyes from looking at worthless things and give me life in your ways. Confirm to your servant your promise that you may be feared. Turn away from the reproach that I dread, for your rules are good. Behold, I long for your precepts. In your righteousness, give me life. Let your steadfast love come to me, O Lord, your salvation according to your promise. Then shall I have an answer for him who taunts me, for I trust in your word. And take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for my hope is in your rules. I will keep your law continually forever and ever, and I shall walk in a wide place, for I have sought your precepts. I will also speak of your testimonies before kings and shall not be put to shame, for I find my delight in your commands, which I love. I will lift up my hands toward your commandments, which I love, and I will meditate on your statutes. Sensing a theme here, I hope. Remember your word to your servant, in which you have made me hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, that your promises gives me life. The insolent utterly deride me, but I do not turn away from your law. When I think of your rules from of old, I take comfort, O Lord. Hot indignation seizes me because of the wicked who forsake your law. Your statutes have been my songs in the house of my sojourning. I remember your name in the night, O Lord, and keep your law. This blessing has fallen to me that I have kept your precepts. The Lord is my portion. I promise to keep your words. I entreat your favor with all my heart. Be gracious to me according to your promise. When I think of my ways, I turn my feet to your testimonies. I hasten and do not delay to keep your commandments. Though the cords of the wicked ensnare me, I do not forget your law. At midnight, I rise to praise you because of your righteous rules. I am a companion of all who fear you, of those who keep your precepts. The earth, O Lord, is full of your steadfast love. Teach me your statutes. You have dealt well with your servant, O Lord, according to your word. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I believe in your commands. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word. You are good and do good. Teach me your statutes. The insolent smear me with lies, but with my whole heart I keep your precepts. Their heart is unfeeling like fat, but I delight in your law. It is good for me that I was afflicted, that I might learn your statutes. The law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of gold and silver pieces. Your hands have made and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn your commandments. Those who fear you shall see me and rejoice, because I hoped in your word. I know, O Lord, that your rules are righteous, and that in faithfulness you have afflicted me. Let your steadfast love comfort me according to the promise to your servant. Let your mercy come to me that I may live, for your law is my delight. Let the insolent be put to shame because they have wronged me with falsehood. As for me, I will meditate on your precepts. Let those who fear you turn to me that they may know your testimonies. May my heart be blameless in your statutes that I may not be put to shame. My soul longs for your salvation. I hope in your word. My eyes long for your promise. I ask, when will you comfort me? For I have become like a wineskin in the smoke, yet I have not forgotten your statutes. How long must your servant endure? When will you judge those who persecute me? The insolent have dug pitfalls for me. They do not live according to your law. All your commandments are sure. They persecute me with falsehood. Help me. They have almost made an end of me on earth, but I have not forsaken your precepts. In your steadfast love, give me life that I may keep the testimonies of your mouth. Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly fixed in the heavens. Your faithfulness endures to all generations. You have established the earth and it stands fast. By your appointment, they stand this day, for all things are your servants. If your law had not been my delight, I would have perished in my affliction. I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have given me life. I am yours. Save me, for I have sought your precepts. The wicked lie in wait to destroy me, but I consider your testimonies. I have seen a limit to all perfection, but your commandment is exceedingly broad. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. Your commandment makes me wiser than my enemies, for it is ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the aged, for I keep your precepts. Hold back my feet from the evil way, from every evil way, in order to keep your word. I do not turn aside from your rules, for you have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts, I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I have sworn an oath and confirmed it to keep your righteous rules. I am severely afflicted. Give me life, O Lord, according to your word. Accept my freewill offerings of praise, O Lord, and teach me your rules. I hold my life in my hand continually, but I do not forget your law. The wicked have laid a snare for me, but I do not stray from your precepts. Your testimonies are my heritage forever, for they are the joy of my heart. I incline my heart to perform your statutes forever, to the end. I hate the double-minded, but I love your law. You are my hiding place and my shield. I hope in your word. Depart from me, you evildoers, that I may keep the commandments of my God. Uphold me according to your promise, that I may live, and let me not be put to shame in my hope. Hold me up, that I may be safe, and have regard for your statutes continually. You spurn all who go astray from your statutes, for their cunning is in vain. All the wicked of the earth you discard like dross. Therefore, I love your testimonies. My flesh trembles for fear of you, and I am afraid of your judgments. I have done what is just and right. Do not leave me to my oppressors. Give your servant a pledge of good. Let not the insolent oppress me. My eyes long for your salvation and for the fulfillment of your righteous promise. Deal with your servant according to your steadfast love and teach me your statutes. I am your servant. Give me understanding that I may know your testimonies. It is time for the Lord to act, for your law has been broken. Therefore, I love your commandments above gold, above fine gold. Therefore, I consider all your precepts to be right. I hate every false way.
Your testimonies are wonderful, therefore my soul keeps them. The unfolding of your words gives light and imparts understanding to the simple. I open my mouth and pant because I long for your commandments. Turn to me and be gracious to me, as is your way with those who love your name. Keep steady my steps according to your promise, and let not iniquity get dominion over me. Redeem me from man's oppression, that I may keep your precepts. Make your face shine upon your servant, and teach me your statutes. My eyes shed streams of tears because people do not keep your law. Righteous are you, O Lord, and right are your rules. You have appointed your testimonies in righteousness and in all faithfulness. My zeal consumes me because my foes forget your words. Your promise is well tried, and your servant loves it. I am small and despised, yet I do not forget your precepts. Your righteousness is righteous forever, and your law is true. Trouble and anguish have found me out, but your commandments are my delight. Your testimonies are righteous forever. Give me understanding that I may live. With my whole heart I cry, answer me, O Lord. I will keep your statutes. I call to you, save me, that I may observe your testimonies. I rise before the dawn and cry for help. I hope in your words. My eyes are awake before the watches of the night, that I meditate on your promise. Hear my voice according to your steadfast love, O Lord. According to your justice, give me life. They draw near who persecute me with evil purpose. They are far from your law, but you are near, O Lord. But you are near. O Lord, and all your commandments are true. Long have I known from your testimonies that you have founded them forever. Look on my affliction and deliver me, for I do not forget your law. Plead my cause and redeem me. Give me life according to your promise. Salvation is far from the wicked, for they do not seek your statutes. Great is your mercy, O Lord. Give me life according to your rules. Many are my persecutors and my adversaries, but I do not swerve from your testimonies. I look at the faithless with disgust, because they do not keep your commands. Consider how I love your precepts. Give me life according to your steadfast love. The sum of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous rules endures forever. Princes persecute me without cause, but my heart stands in awe of your words. I rejoice at your word, like one who finds great spoil. I hate and abhor falsehood, but I love your law. 7 times a day I praise you for your righteous rules. Great peace have those who love your law. Nothing can make them stumble. I hope for your salvation, O Lord. I do your commandments. My soul keeps your testimonies. I love them exceedingly. I keep your precepts and testimonies, for all my ways are before you. Let my cry come before you, O Lord. Give me understanding according to your word. Let my plea come before you. Deliver me according to your word. My lips will pour forth praise, for you teach me your statutes. My tongue will sing of your word, for all your commandments are right. Let your hand be ready to help me, for I have chosen your precepts. I long for your salvation, O Lord, and your law is my delight. Let my soul live and praise you, and let your rules help me. I have gone astray like a sheep. Seek your servant, for I do not forget your commandments. Congratulations, you all just read the first, you all just read the longest chapter in all the Bible. So, at least some of you. How important is God's word? Read Psalm 119. Hear the language of that psalm and hear how important it was to that man who wrote that. How important was it to hear God's word? How important was it? Think of all the things that God's word did for this writer, what it does for believers, because this is inspired writing we're talking about. And I'll be honest, I was sitting up here and I tried to peek up as I was reading, and obviously I saw heads nodding. I saw heads nodding off. I heard a snore. I heard some of these things, and we laugh, and I'm not trying to laugh that off. I'm not trying to make this funny. We come here and we expect me to get up here and do some fun analogy and to sit up here and spin in circles and amuse you.
But what I just did is more important than any other word I will say up here. And that's reading God's Word. Because God's Word is where the real power comes from. Because God's Word is what's really going to change our lives. God's Word is what's really going to make this church do something and be successful and be more than just pew fillers, which is what a lot of Christians are being these days, because we're not actually being disciples and we're not actually living. God's Word is vital to our faith. I chose to read this one on purpose because, ironically, it's the longest chapter that the editors of the Bible put together, but it's specifically about God's Word. Can you commit to reading God's Word? Can you commit to listening to God's Word? You want to know why Psalm 119 is so great? Listen. In Psalm 119, the beauty of this psalm is that it is fully encapsulating God's Word for us. You see, let's throw that next slide up here with all these things, right? You see, God's Word guides and directs. You see, Psalm 119:9 that we read, what did it say? How can a young man keep his way pure? Not just a young man, how do people keep their way pure? By guarding it according to your word. How guarded are you by God's Word? How can you be guarded by something that you're never in? How can you be guarded by something that you don't take any time to be around? Right? How can we be guarded if God's Word is not at the evermost importance of our life? Moral purity is grounded in obedience to God's revealed will. Psalm 119:105, right? Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Scripture provides both immediate guidance to our feet and long-term direction, light to the path ahead of us. You see, Scripture guides us. Scripture shows me what I ought to do. Scripture tells me what is the purpose of what I'm doing. You see, the other thing that God's Word does, or the other thing that we need to do, is have love for and delight in His Word. Do you love God's Word? And if you do, imagine if I just loved my wife one time a week. Imagine if I just loved my kids a couple of times and for 15 minutes every day. I'd be a terrible father and husband, wouldn't I? Do you love God's Word? Think of your definition of love real quick before you just hastily answer. Psalm 119:16, I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Obedience flows from delight. It's a lot easier to do something for someone you love, not out of blind obedience. Like, yes, we're obedient to God because He is Lord and He is King, but do you love God? That's why I do the things for Him, not because He tells me to. Like, yes, it is, but I love Him. And I want to serve Him. And I love His Word. Psalm 119:97. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. My meditation all the day. Right? It's like God just told Joshua last week to meditate on the Word day and night, right? Remember what that word meditation is in Hebrew? Mutter. How often are you just thinking of God's Word and kind of talking about it to yourself? I'm not saying to go insane or anything, but the idea, the Word shapes continual thought, not occasional reflection. That's God's Word. What's the other thing the Bible does for us? The Bible, the Word gives life, strength, and hope. Psalm 119:25, my soul clings to the dust. What does that mean? The dirt, I'm on the ground. My soul is like on the ground. God, right? Sounds very similar to from dust you came and to dust you shall return, doesn't it? My soul clings to dust, God. I'm a sinner. I struggle. Or as Paul would say in Romans 7, I know what I ought to do, but I do the very thing that I hate. Who will save me from this body of death, wretched man that I am? My soul clings to dust. Give me life according to your word. God's word revives the spiritually exhausted. Because who is the Word? The Logos of God, Jesus Christ. Psalm 119:28, my soul melts away for sorrow. How many of you get sad, right?
Strengthen me according to your word. God's word is where we go to get strength and not feel so sad about all these things going on. It's where we go to feel encouragement. Scripture is a source of endurance and suffering. Psalm 119:50, this is my comfort in my affliction, that your promise gives me life. God's promises sustain believers through hardship. Why? Because as Paul would say in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, is that this physical tent is going to be gone one day, and I'm going to an eternal home that is better than anything that's here. That's the promise that gets me through anything in this life. And it's what helps comfort me when if I lose a loved one, if I lose something that's valuable to me, or a family member, or whatever it is, heaven's going to be much longer than 100 years here, if we're even lucky to live that long with American diets. God's word is truth. God's word is truth. Psalm 119:89. Forever, O Lord, your word is fixed in the heavens. God's word is eternal and unchanging, unlike human opinion. God's word is forever. God's word is true. God's word is immovable. I'll sit here and say it, and I'll say it again and again. Come and test God's word. Come and test God's word with a question and try to see if you can prove it false. I'm not saying that you would do that, but I'm just saying they've been trying to prove the Bible wrong since Jesus rose from the grave. Paul himself said, if you can disprove the resurrection, you can disprove Christianity. Because Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, if he is not risen, then our faith is in vain, and your faith, and then you are still in your sins. So all you got to do is just produce Jesus' body or show us where his grave still is. They can't do that, can they? God's word is truth. It's enduring forever. Psalm 119:160, the sum of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous rules endures forever. When you think of rules, a lot of times you don't think of eagerness to follow them. I feel like a lot of times rules are talked about, rules are meant to be broken. Not God's rules. God's rules are righteous, and we should want to do them. Because how does 1 John 5 says it? 1 John 5 verse 3 talks about, for this is the love of God, to obey his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. Probably one of the most important things that God's word does for us is that God is near through his word. James chapter 4 talks about, you know, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. How in the world are you going to draw near to God? Like, prayer is great and everything. Don't get me wrong. Prayer is part of the Christian life and you got to pray. But how do you know what God wants you to do if you don't read his word? How can you live faithfully without being in God's word? Psalm 119:151, but you are near, O Lord, and all your commandments are true. If John, again, if we believe the Bible is true, then we have to believe that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And that Jesus is that Word, as John points out, that the Word became flesh and manifest himself to us. So whenever you're opening up your Bible and reading it, is Jesus talking to you? Am I going to nod off when Jesus is talking to me? Am I going to not pay attention when Jesus is talking to me? Because that's what the Bible is. I'm just reading it, but it's Jesus' words. It's God's words. It's God's word. God's nearness is experienced through his faithful word and obedience to that faithful word. Notice the importance of obedience all throughout this psalm. Like I said, I truly hope at least some of you were highlighting, underlining, and taking notes and looking at all these things that apply to our life through the Word. And lastly, we must be obedient and committed to God's Word. Psalm 119:11, I have stored up your Word in my heart that I might not sin against you. How are you not going to sin against God? By storing up his Word in your heart. What does that mean? Be in the Word of God. Study it. Learn it. Practice it. And even then, how does he word it? That I might not sin against you. Not that I won't. If you're going to struggle to fight sin by being in God's Word, how much more are you going to struggle if you don't even look at it? Or just trust some dude who's getting up here preparing thoughts for a week that I'm going to be right about everything I say? My My parents always used to tell me, you're not going to get into heaven riding on someone else's coattails. That's not how it's going to work. Ezekiel 18 talks about how every man, every person will answer for themselves and all that they have done. We will answer and we will be liable to judgment based on what we have done, not based on what anyone else has done. Psalm 119:33 and 34. Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes. Give me understanding that I may keep your law. Obedience requires divine instruction and insight. We have to learn how to read God's word. We have to learn how to understand. Do you ask God to help you understand? Do you prepare your mind and your heart for worship when you show up to church? Do you say, God, open my heart, clear my mind of all the distractions. I don't want to think about the Super Bowl. I don't want to think about, you know, the basketball, March Madness is coming. I don't want to think about that. I don't want to think about going to lunch after this, even though I am a little hungry, because your word is food. Your word is life. Do you pray for understanding before you try to read God's word? That's like showing up to the game without practicing. You're going to do terrible. You have to practice. You have to be prepared. Obedience requires divine instruction and insight. And so in conclusion, what's the point of all this? Psalm 119 teaches that faithfulness to God is inseparable from faithfulness to His Word. I cannot be a genuine disciple of Jesus Christ and not love the Word of God. I cannot be a genuine Christian and not feel moved by God's Word like the psalmist does here in Psalm 119. Your word is my desire all the day long. I noticed, and I think it's important to notice, because the psalmist loves truth so much, what did they say a couple of times through this? The psalmist, what did he say? I hate every false way. God hates sin and hates evil. Does that mean you go treat people evilly? No. But sin is wrong, and sin is evil, and sin has got people captured. Sin tries to capture us and lead us astray. But God loves us and saves us through His Son Jesus and by living life in His Holy Spirit. Living is an active thing, if you didn't realize. You know, you live every day, which means you're breathing and you're doing things. And so living in Christ is an active thing. And the Word is the heart of that activity. Psalm 119 teaches that faithfulness to God is inseparable from faithfulness to His Word. Scripture is not merely information, guys. It's not a Netflix subscription that you come here and listen to for 20 to 30 minutes and then go home for the week. It is light, life, comfort, truth, and how God forms faithful disciples. Psalm 119:17-18 says, "Deal bountifully with your servant that I may live and keep your word. Open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of your law. I am a sojourner on the earth. Hide not your commandments from me." Are we opening our eyes? Are we actually opening our eyes to try to understand what God wants us to do? Do I actually care? Or has church just become the next checklist thing I do in my week? Because we need radical switching of our perspective to get back in love with God's word and to get back to making real change happen in God's kingdom. Because people are hungry for truth. We ought to be hungry for truth because none of us will ever understand all of it. We have to keep learning. Open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of your law. God's law is wonderful. It's mighty. It's powerful. It's eternal. It is life. Do you want real life today? Well, open your eyes and find it in God's word. Do you want life today? Notice that phrase, I am a sojourner on the earth. I kind of made reference to that in 2 Corinthians 5. Paul talks about this tent, this temporary dwelling of our body is going to be put off one day. It's going to die. But when that happens, we will go somewhere, one of two places. Either a place where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth, hell, that was not prepared for people, as Jesus says, it was prepared for the devil and his angels.
People choose to go to hell by living rebellious lives and unfaithful to God. But we can choose heaven by being buried with Christ, by confessing Jesus as Lord and Savior, by confessing our sins, by being buried with Him in the waters of baptism, being washed away of sin and rising up out of that water and receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit, calling on the name of the Lord and walking in newness of life. That can all happen for you today because there's no reason to wait because Jesus is coming soon. It may be in our lifetime. It may not. No one knows. But why put it to chance? Do you love God's word? If you're subject to this invitation and have any need, please come forward as we stand and as we sing.